Hi, everyone. I'm Ramya Raghavan, and I work on the YouTube Nonprofits team. Today, it's my pleasure to be joined by Shakira, a world-renowned music icon, a YouTube sensation, and a philanthropist, for a very special interview that's completely powered by YouTube users. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
For the past few days, thousands of people from around the world have been submitting questions for Shakira about topics like education, the World Cup, and music to a platform called Moderator on YouTube. The public voted on the questions that they like the best, and those are the questions that we'll be asking Shakira today.
Very well.
So are you ready to get started?
I'm ready.
More yours.
Okay. Well, you have wildly enthusiastic fans, as I'm sure you know, and a lot of them ask questions about your music. So this was the top voted video question in the music category, and it comes from Mohit in California.
Hi, Shakira. It's Mohit from California. And my question to you is, you've been making music for almost 20 years now, so what's your favorite song by yourself? Or if you can't pick one, what's your top five songs by yourself?
I love that he's wearing the Waka Waka t-shirt.
Yeah, I think he really thought about it.
My favorite song, wow, that's a tough one. I have to say I'm very excited about the new album, which is about to come out in September, because it reminds me of different eras of and different stages of my career. It's like a synthesis of all these 20 years. It's got songs that remind me of Pies Descalzos and Ladrones and Laundry Service. And it's got a strong rock side and also romantic songs and Latino songs, Latin sounding songs.
So a little bit of everything you've
A little bit of everything, yeah. It's like I said before, it's a good synthesis of it. But one of the songs that I like a lot from my repertoire is Sombra de Ti. It's one of the B-sides of one of my past albums. I usually like the B-sides, you know, the songs that never get to play on radio. Yeah, that's one of my favorite songs for sure. But I could dare to say that the new material that's coming now, it's probably not my favorite, too. It's not my favorite, yeah. I'm so thrilled about it. It's been like a re-encounter. It's been quite interesting to make this new album. I've been reconnecting with myself and with my sensibility, and it's very introspective, but at the same time, it's very joyful. It's got a lot of joy in it.
Great. Well, the next question comes from Ron's in Venezuela, and asks, Shakira, what has been the most difficult moment in your musical career?
I suppose the beginnings, when I was 13, in Colombia, which was a country, which is a country that back then didn't have a pop scene, or at least a local pop scene, you know. Most of the music that was playing on radio, music generated by local artists, was folkloric music, you know, tropical music. But I wanted to do rock, I wanted to do pop songs, and that didn't have an outlet at that time. So it was very difficult. I was very young, and being a woman also in this business is not easy. Thank God I had an amazing family surrounding me, supporting my dreams, encouraging me, my mother, my dad. You know, when I was 13, I released my first album with Sony Music, which back then was CBS. And as soon as I graduated from high school, I graduated very young when I was 15, mm-hmm. I decided to move to the capital, to Bogota, to pursue my dreams, my career. And so I told my parents, guys, I'm leaving. I have to make it happen. And my mom said, you leaving? I'm going with you. And so she came with me to Bogota, and I remember that those beginnings were quite hard, you know, to convince my record company to be listened, yeah. You know, being so young and having already so many ideas and certain criteria too, you know. It wasn't easy to be respected, to earn the respect. Right. And as soon as I got that, I felt that I was over the fence.
Awesome. Well, here's another video question also about music, and it's from Etienne in the Netherlands.
Etienne.
Hello, Shakira. I'm Etienne from the Netherlands.
Hello,
and
Etienne.
I would like to ask you a question about your song, Man in This Town. Are you going to perform this song during your concert, or do you have plans even for a video? Because that would be really awesome. And this question is also burning on so many of your fans' minds. And I work in a CD store, and whenever I put your CD on, and people and the song comes up, people ask me about the song, and I will recommend it to them. And colleagues sing along, and just want to say that you're the best. You're my muse to everything, and I love you.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, I see my poster there in the back.
Yeah, he's a super
that
fan.
That's so sweet. Actually, I think you and I have the same taste, because that's probably my favorite song in the whole She-Wolf album. But it didn't get to be a single. So I don't think I'm gonna be making any video for that song anytime soon, since I'm already moving on to another album. But if you want, you can make your own video. I'd love to receive that. But it's definitely one of my favorite songs in the album, if not my favorite one.
So if you liked Etienne's video, I think you're really going to like this next one. It comes from some of your other super fans in Argentina.
Wow. It's amazing. Oh my God, it's so moving.
Their question is, on the new album, will we find songs that speak of social issues?
In this new album, it's very personal, this album. It's very much about my feelings and my the times in which I felt that my heart has broken, and it gets and the pieces get sewn in again, and recovering and surviving and going through struggles and coming out of those struggles, feeling stronger. It's about also the joy of celebrating my own culture, you know, because I decided to go to the Dominican Republic and rescue and kind of understand a little bit of that part of the Caribbean, you know, and get some of those sounds and mix them in my music. So it's very exciting from a sonic point of view, but also it's so personal and so so much of a reflection of the way I feel or the way I felt these past 2 years that I didn't really get into, you know, speaking about social issues, not in this particular album. I guess because I've been speaking so much publicly,
right,
that I didn't think that or didn't feel the urgency to do it through my music, you know, mm-hmm. since I've been having a lot of other outlets to explain the causes that are very close to my heart.
Well, we did get a lot of other questions about your educational work, your philanthropic work with One Goal and the Barefoot Foundation. And this is a top-voted question about education, and it's from Kareem in Egypt. And he asks, what motivated you to join One Goal? Was it an unfortunate personal experience or just a personal conviction of the importance of education? Do you think education for all has a bearing on world peace?
I'm convinced that education is the key to world peace. And I don't say this because someone told me or I've heard it from the experts or I've read it. I'm a student in all these issues related to education. I am learning every day more and more, and I get more and more answers that convince me of how urgent it is to invest on education for all. But I've also seen it with my own eyes, you know, working in Colombia in the field since I was 18 years old. You know, I decided to establish my foundation in Colombia, and since then we've been building schools in areas where there's conflict or extreme poverty, and whenever we see that there are children without opportunities to access education. We not only build schools, but also provide quality, high-quality education, accompanied with the nutritional component, which is so essential, so key for our models to succeed. And I am convinced that education is the tool that will unlock every kid's talents and potentials. And I'm convinced that education is the best deal for everyone, for the rich countries and for poor countries. I mean, when we invest in kids' potentials and talents, we are securing a safer world. We are preventing these kids from joining criminal groups or gangs or terrorist groups. We are preventing illnesses such as HIV/AIDS and so many other illnesses, especially educating women as well, which is so important. By providing education, we're boosting economy. And isn't that what every government in the world wants, you know, that every country's economy does well?
Absolutely.
Well, the answer to that is educating our children. Because just 1 year of primary education signifies that kid in his adult life or her adult life will be able to earn 10 to 20% more in salaries and wages, you know, when they grow up. So that means that education really is a powerful tool to generate income, but beyond all that, it's the only way we can guarantee a world in peace, a world in which everyone feels that they have the same opportunities, you know. And the reason why I got so involved is because, you know, I grew up in Colombia. Colombia, yeah. Is a developing country where a lot of people don't have access to the most basic needs, and where education is considered a luxury, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, because we all know that education is a birthright. And I just grew up frustrated seeing how many people weren't able to realize their own dreams, you know. When I was 8 years old, my dad underwent an economic crisis, a financial crisis, you know. He lost his business, and we struggled economically for many years. We lost our car, we lost our furniture, and I remember vividly the day I walked in my house and all the furniture was gone because my dad had to pay his debts. And it was quite, shocking for me, you know. I was seven, 8 years old, and when I saw this, I was so frustrated, and my dad, I'm so upset with my parents because I couldn't understand how they did so poorly in business, you know. I'm like, Why? You know, I couldn't get it. And my dad and my mom took me to the park where they showed me other kids my age sniffing glue. Mm-hmm. They were orphans. They had no one to watch after them. And they were barefoot. And they were abandoned to their own luck. And it probably left such an impression in my impressionable mind at that age that I remember that day. And I remember that I made myself a promise. I said to myself, Shakira, you have to succeed, because you have to ride in a car again one day, you know. You have to get your own car someday. I wanted to vindicate my parents socially and economically, and I also wanted to someday do something for those kids who I saw that day in the park. So as soon as I had my first big success with Pies Descalzos, which was my third album, I decided to establish my own foundation and do my own contribution to the change, even if it was going to be a small one. But I wanted to be active. And that's how it all started, you know, going through my own financial struggle and the struggle of my family, and understanding that the one thing that I never lacked was care, protection, and an education. And that's probably what made me thrive in life. And you know, when I see kids in Colombia and everywhere around the world, I see my own face in them. I see my own dreams. I know
Absolutely.
That no kid in Colombia or anywhere in the world is dreaming right now about becoming a drug trafficker or dreaming about becoming an assassin or a criminal. Kids dream about noble things. They dream about becoming teachers or doctors or scientists or firemen, you know. And it's us who don't provide them with those opportunities so they can live dignified lives, you know. As Rousseau once said, men are born good, but society corrupts them. And I believe in men. I believe, well, not in men, but men, you got to be careful. But I believe in human in the human nature. I believe in the kindness of it, and but I believe that if we don't provide people with opportunity, especially at a very early stage, when we have the chances to do so, we are denying ourselves of a better world, you know?
Well, I would say that the 7-year-old Shakira is probably very proud of the work that you're doing now to promote education mm-hmm. through the Barefoot Foundation and One Goal. And actually, the next question is more about this. So this one comes from Jay in Trinidad and Tobago, who asks, we here in Trinidad and Tobago have the opportunity for free education from ABC to PhD. I support your efforts with Pies Descalzos in Colombia and One Goal. In the future, will you be expanding your foundation to other countries?
Pies Descalzos, or Barefoot Foundation, we are starting to build a school in Haiti, in one of the devastated areas after the earthquake. And recently, with Mango and UNICEF, we started this campaign by selling the Waka Waka T-shirts.
That's one of the ones.
Yeah, and they're being sold in all Mango stores around the world. And with this initiative, we'll be able to, and with the money that we can raise with the profits of this T-shirt, we will be able to start some educational programs in South Africa. So this is
amazing.
These are our first steps outside Colombia. Since we've been working in Colombia for so long and we've gathered certain experience in working in the field, especially with children who have been displaced by violence, which is a similar situation in South Africa. You know, you have many children who have been displaced from Congo or Angola living there who also are in need of a high-quality education. So these are some of the efforts that our Barefoot Foundation is doing. And on the other hand, with ALAS, ALAS, it's another organization of which I'm also a part of, we are promoting early childhood development, early childhood education among the leaders of our region, of Latin America, Latin American region. And we've been already in two presidential summits. And this year we expect and we hope that we can achieve a regional commitment from every country to invest in that population that is the most vulnerable one, that group between the 0 and 6 years old, mm-hmm. the children who are not receiving any kind of nutrition or stimulation or education in their very early years. So this is another effort, but they're all correlated, you know, it's all for the objective of promoting and advocating for this one thing which I believe so much, which is, you know, education for all as a strategy for development and as a strategy for world peace as well.
Absolutely. So one more question on the subject, and it was the top voted video question in the category from Lewis in the United States.
Hey, this is Lewis from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hi,
and I just
Lewis.
Have one question. What are some ways that we can become more involved with some of the things that you stand behind? Is there any way that we can volunteer with either One Goal or the Barefoot Foundation? Thanks a lot. Bye.
Oh, that's so sweet, Lewis. There are many ways in which you can get involved, and that's what's so exciting about all this. In One Goal, for example, with One Goal, you can join... Well, first of all, let me give you a little background about what One Goal is. One Goal is a movement supported by FIFA and created by the Global Campaign of Education. And through this movement, we want to make sure that the leaders of the world are aware of how much it matters to us, to the people of the world, to the young people in every country or on the face of Earth, how much it matters to give education to those 72 million children around the world who don't have any access to it. And a lot of people are a part of this movement. Queen Rania from Jordan, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, UN General Secretary as well, and many world leaders as well are supporting this initiative. But we need more commitments. We need more efforts. We need to make sure that our leaders make education for all a priority. Mm-hmm. So by you signing up and by you joining the One Goal campaign, you can make a tremendous difference. You can go to onegoal.org and you can sign up, and your voice will count, and your opinion and your petition will be taken to the world leaders of the to the world leaders that will be meeting this July the 11th. In South Africa. I will be personally attending to this summit. It's an education summit in South Africa, and we're going to take all these petitions from millions and millions of young people around the world, so they know what we're talking about, so they know that this is really a priority for us, and it should be a priority for them as well. So there you go. And with Pies Descalzos or Barefoot Foundation or UNICEF or any foundation out there who is working really hard on behalf of children's needs, you can just go to our website. For example, in the case of Barefoot Foundation, you can go to our website and you can sponsor a child, for example. You know, we have programs to sponsor children, children's food in school, children's school texts and school uniforms, and you can provide a whole year of education to one kid in Colombia. But there are so many other ways to volunteer. You know, you can volunteer your time, you can volunteer your energy, your ideas as well. And that's what it is all about, you know, to create a big movement to make things happen. Because that's how democracy works, you know. Leaders actually commit to do the things that people are interested in. Right. So if we show the interest, they will want to look good, you know. That's how politicians work. So they, in order to look good, you know, don't say anything about this. They don't know. But they will deliver. They will deliver what people expect. And if we expect that every child in the world, those 32 million children in Africa, or those 72 million children around the world who don't have any access to primary education, if we expect that this changes and we demand our leaders for a change, they will have to deliver eventually.
So everyone,
hopefully sooner than later.
So everyone should go to www.onegoal.org to find out more and to volunteer, as I'm sure Lewis is doing right now on his keyboard. He's signing up. So switching gears a little bit, you mentioned that you've been in South Africa helping One Goal, but also for the World Cup. So the next
I'm so obsessed with football now. All I want to talk about. I just want to talk about football. Read the sports section. I never in my life imagined that I could see myself opening up the newspapper and going straight to the sports section.
I'm the same way. I'm hooked.
You are?
Totally.
Really?
Wow. And apparently so is Charin from Canada, and he has this question for you. Hey Shakira, which team do you support and why, and who is your favorite player in the World Cup? This could be the most controversial question you answer today.
I know. I have to be very careful with the way I answer. You know, of course, if Colombia were in the World Cup, I would be supporting my country, but since the guys are back home, I have to be very democratic about it. I am very glad, though, that our Latin teams, our Hispanic teams, have played a really good role in this World Cup. It's been the most unpredictable World Cup ever.
Absolutely.
And that's why I think it's so exciting as well, right? Because nobody knows what's going to happen. Well, that's football. You know? You never know. You can't guarantee who's going to win.
Right. Lots of upsets.
Yeah.
Here's another question about your involvement in the World Cup, and it comes from Steven in Los Angeles. What is your opinion on FIFA putting your song as the FIFA World Cup 2010 official song instead of choosing an African artist?
I think the World Cup is about integration. It's about a lot of cultures coming together, people from all over the world sharing this one passion, this sentiment that is football. And this experience, this celebration, you know. Football has something that other sports, not every sport has, and it is the fact that it's so global, so universal.
Absolutely.
All social classes share it. You see people from different status and spheres of society having a conversation and passionately about their favorite team or different place, you know, and I think that's what's so beautiful about it, you know. So there are other sports that are more elitist, you know, but football is the sport of people. Everyone likes it, and women are liking it more and more and more and more, and, including me. So, but my point to answer your question, because I was already detouring, is that I believe that the World Cup is about this melting pot, you know, that in which so many cultures come together. So when Sony and my record label asked me to write a song for the World Cup, I decided to bring a little bit of my culture too, which is attached to Africa through an umbilical cord, you know. I mean, I was raised listening to music that was heavily influenced by African music, my the part of Colombia from where I come from is very African, you know, and there are even cities in Colombia, small towns in Colombia where they only speak African dialect. That's
really?
How close Colombians are to African culture. So I decided to, you know, use a little bit of Afro-Colombian and Afro-Caribbean elements and this chant from Cameroon, which is another African country of a very colorful and rich culture, and invite a South African artist to also bring their own flavor to this song. And I thought that in that way, we could create a song that would be more emblematic of what the World Cup spirit is, you know, that spirit of tolerance and integration and, yeah, that melting pot that South Africa is right now.
Absolutely. I've been listening to Waka Waka all week. And actually, it's crossed over 50 million views on YouTube. So
wow.
The
official video, yeah.
The official video.
It's
so
incredible. They gave me this yesterday.
It.
I was screaming. I was like, wow! Yeah. I can't believe it. It's just, I mean, it's a crazy number. 50 million people. And, you know, I have to confess, this month I've been so happy. I wake up every morning with a huge smile on my face because I don't know if it's the World Cup or what, but I'm excited every day. I just want to watch the matches. And I don't know, knowing that this World Cup is also taking place in Africa makes it extra special.
Mm-hmm.
It puts me in a good mood. I don't want it to end. I don't want the World Cup to end.
Can
you guys delay
come.
It a little bit? Yeah. I don't know. It's really amazing, the moment that I'm going through right now with this song and getting all this amazing news and knowing that so many people are sharing this experience as well, as passionately as I am, you know, because that's what this song is about. It's about accompanying this moment of celebration, you know, and so I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Well, I think we're almost out of time, but we have time for one last question, and it comes from Steph in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So it is, what is the question you never get asked but want to answer?
Steph, I think I've answered everything you can possibly think of. I can't think of any question that I haven't answered.
Is there anything you haven't said in this interview that you wanna?
I've talked so much. I've talked like a
no,
like someone who's been lost for a while and has been found. Thank you so much for submitting your questions. I know you sent a lot of questions from many different countries. I wish that we had more time.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I know that everyone watching right now is probably so excited because you have such an enormous YouTube fan base.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of the World Cup, and keep supporting your teams and those who were already eliminated. Sorry about that, but, you know, it's just a game, so don't get too sad either. And big kiss. See you soon.